Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour on this August 1st, 2019. This is Peyman Motahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program, where I show you how to live free now, especially of IRS tyranny and lies. We're going to find the education and the answers that actually work for you, my friends, by showing you the law, making the law so easy to understand, you can verify it for yourself and be free. So tonight I'm going to be covering the topic of how to stop an IRS levy. What is the IRS levy? It's when the IRS wants to steal your money. They go to your employer. They go to your bank. They go to someone else that owes you money. They put a gun to the head and says, hey, give me my victim's money. Okay? And they steal your money from the third party. Somebody else owes you money. IRS says, don't pay him what you owe by contract, by obligation. Pay me. Otherwise, I'll get it from you. All the money and with 50% penalty added. That's what a levy is. It's an order to withhold. You know, the garnishment, they call different things. IRS calls them a levy. So I'll tell you guys how to stop an IRS levy. And then at the end, I'll be answering your questions about this topic and any other freedom topic that you want. I'll start by telling you first, go check out our website at livefreenow.org. Freedom Law School's website is livefreenow.org. If you want to live free, that's the website to go to, and go there on the front page and sign up to get our Freedom Education Package mailed to you at zero cost to you. This is education you all should have had coming out of high school, but you were not given. The matrix of lies kept you in the dark, okay? I'm going to uncover your eyes by showing the lies. I'm going to show you how the deep state of the IRS management, U.S. Department of Injustice, and crooked district court and court of appeals judges have conspired to enslave you the same way that U.S. Department of Injustice, CIA, NSA, and FBI management conspired against President Donald Trump to bring him down. That was a deep state coup d'etat. Same group of upper people in the federal government. Crooks have taken over, but I'm going to free you from their tyranny with the law as written by our Congress, the Constitution, and Supreme Court decision, my friend. It's so empowering, you all love it. So hang in there. And remember, you can always rewind and watch this presentation again and again so you really get it. So I'm going to go a little bit fast sometimes just to give you guys as much punch and oomph as possible to win. So let's talk about the IRS levy. First of all, the first thing you need to know, there is no silver bullet answer that you can stop no matter what, every and any kind of IRS levy, and there'd be no potential negative consequences. There's just no such thing, okay? I'm not going to promise you a lie. I don't believe in lies. I believe in telling you the truth, my friend. Having said that, though, there are many instances that you can do things to stop the IRS levy. Okay? Even get your money back. Yes, get your money back. But you got to know the game, how it works, what to do, depending on your circumstance. And again, your circumstances are very critical. Now, before I go on, I want to tell you a few other things you need to know. Number one, the IRS, as much as legal power Congress has given them, and they're abusing it, enlarging it, right, by the crooked Department of Injustice and brother judges expanding their powers because they, to them, it's all about the money. Money, 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 money. They want more money to hire more people to build their empires, more power, prestige for them. Nonetheless, the IRS is literally a collapsing Soviet Union. They are in total state of disarray on the inside, and you don't know that. They want this image of the all-powerful gods, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. They're not. Okay? I've covered that in other topics before. Earlier this year, I did one on Is the IRS the Real Paper Tiger in early 2019. Check out that video on that topic. You're going to find out a lot more. You're going to love that presentation. So, knowing that the IRS is not this all-powerful entity that they pretend to be, they make a lot of mistakes. Their employees are so lazy. They're poorly educated. They are poorly trained, poorly supervised and managed. In fact, that's an understatement. They are not really managed and supervised because they are a monopoly. Monopoly means they have no competition. See, if the company that you work for, let's suppose you work for a supermarket, like in Florida, we got a public supermarket. If they don't do a good job, the competition Winn-Dixie in Florida, they go take the market away from them. Okay? So in private enterprise, you got to perform. You got to be efficient. You got to do it right. You got to continue to improve. But monopoly thing, like in government, there's no need. Okay? They don't need to improve at all. They're going to get paid the same money. And who watches them? Congress, the politicians. And no congressman ever lost the election because IRS wasn't hard enough to collect more money. Okay? That doesn't get votes. So really, the IRS is on its own. They got a bunch of incompetent people that they mess up their systems. The next people they hire, they mess it up even more. The next people that leave and come back, new people they hired, screwed up even more, mess it up even more. That's why IRS, back, they had this practice to hire some of the old people who were fired for corruption and incompetence. They brought them back because they knew something at least about the IRS's systems, which are breaking down. So bottom line is, IRS makes a lot of mistakes. As a result, they break the law. They break the procedures. And because of that, you can beat them. If you know some basics about IRS procedures and laws, which I will tell you tonight, okay, what to do. It's a lot to cover, but I'll try to get it all covered to you. Now, first thing to ask yourself is this. Did you, my friend, did you file a 1040 income tax confession form? Misnamed a return. Now, you say, Payman, why do you call it a confession form? Because it is. It's not a return. What did you take from the IRS, the government, that you are returning to the government? Nothing. So why is it called a return? It's not a return. It's a confession form. You confess to that 1040 form that I owe the IRS for year 2018 $10,000 or $80,000. You sign it under oath. You swear to it under oath. What's called under penalties of perjury, which means if you lie, deceive, don't say everything that's relevant or is incomplete, you can go to prison. 5-year felony tax evasion charge for every 1040, every IRS form that you made a mistake of any sort, like I said. So they got about 140 million Americans duped into filling out this form that there's no law requiring them to file. Now, if you never heard about this before, hang in there. Don't shut off. Don't cancel. I'll show it to you. It really is. Just be patient. Okay? And based upon IRS's own numbers that we had in 1996, there was 63 million non-filers there, and now there's close to 80 million non-filers. So for out of every 3 Americans, 2 file 1040 confession forms, 1 doesn't. That's according to IRS's best numbers and my extrapolation of that based upon population growth. So my point is, if you confessed, fill out a 1040 income tax confession form, that reduces your options to challenge the IRS greatly. And the reason that does that, there's some hope for you still, is because you confessed to it. You confessed, you ratted on yourself, you admitted it. There's no questioning what you said you owe. You said it. Whereas if you didn't file a 1040 income tax confession form, now the IRS have to come and prove that you owe them the money. Yes. There's a thing called burden of proof. Okay? If somebody claims the moon is made out of cheese, who has the burden of proof? Do you have to prove that the moon is not made out of cheese? It looks like a cheese color. But no. The burden of proof is on the person who claims that moon is made out of cheese. Someone claims that pigs fly. Really? Fine, I'll believe you. Just show it to me. Prove it to me that pigs fly. And I'll believe it. See, when you file a 1040 confession form, you put the burden of proof on yourself because you confess you owe the money. When you don't file, you have a non-no confession, and it's based on IRS to support their claim that you owe them money. They have to now follow all the proper legal, procedural, and factual basis, all those three, to prove you owe them money. And they mess up all the time. So royally, you can beat them a lot of times. So that's the first thing. If you file, hang in there because I'm going to get you your solution last. Okay, because that applies to filers and non-filers. But if you haven't filed, you got more options. Okay, let's go over those non-filer options first. So when the IRS does a levy, believe it or not, if it's a bank account, well, maybe you don't have much in there. If you have only $50 in there, usually banks charge anywhere from while you're down, the banks say, let's make some money off the poor victim. So if you have too little in your bank account, the levy will go back as unpaid because there's not enough to even process the payment. Or actually, sometimes the banks try to process it, even though there's not enough there. But you go tell the bank, hey, you paid nothing. You don't charge that fee. So, but usually you have a lot more money in your bank account. There's a way to stop that too. But let's go to people who are employees. If you work for someone as an employee, one option is change jobs. Okay, they're going to get maybe one check, paycheck. But when they go after your employer as an employee, it's continuous. Every month, every paycheck, they're going to take your money until the tax is paid in full. If you're someone who paid commissions on a regular basis, okay, same thing. They're going to take that money that's being paid to you on a regular basis from you. So leaving is one option, but very often, I know. I can't leave that job. I got a good paying job. I'm a nurse at the hospital. I make $150,000 as a registered nurse. You know, I work for a military industrial contractor, a big corporation that pays me good money with benefits. I can't go get a job like that around the corner. So for you, that's not an option, perhaps. I'll get to you next. But for a lot of you, it is. For some of you, this could be the chance you've been looking for to go start your own business that you want to do, or move to a different state, or move to a different job that just nudged you on. That gives you some time, some breathing room to plan, strategize for the future. So, let's say again, those do not apply to you. Okay, what can you do? Well, you could challenge, first of all, before the IRS gets to a levy stage, they must send you at least two critical documents. One is called the Notice of Deficiency by Certified Mail. Write it down. Notice of Deficiency. A certified mail. And they have to send you what's called a final notice of intent to levy and notice of your right to a hearing. They got to send that to you. Now, I'm going to go to my screen in just a minute. I'm going to show you sample what I'm talking about, what these letters are. Okay, let's go to my screen, guys. I'm going to show you, okay, under our education material, which you go to Freedom Law School's website, okay, on the education materials tab, okay, at livefreenow.org, livefreenow.org, okay. Double click on education materials, okay. You'll get to this archive or education materials of Freedom Law School. A bunch of stuff is on here that is really helpful, gives you a lot of useful information. One of them, the second one, is this called Progression of Letters the IRS Sends Out. This is a very, very useful and important document you need to know about. Understand the letters the IRS sends out in what order. So let's go click on the blue tab here. Continue educating yourself. And now the progression of the letters the IRS sends out is written here. Can you see that? And I'm not going to go through this whole thing right now. You should, on your own, read this. And you can download and see for free, folks. This is all for free, okay? No charge. What the sample IRS letters look like and what you got to do. Number five here is the notice of deficiency, okay? Come certified, okay? They have to send it to you by law, okay? This is very important. There's a... The next one is, that's important, is number 10 here, which is final notice of intent to levy and notice of your right to a hearing. That's very important. Okay? Notice of your right to a hearing. The language is very important. You catch that. Because the previous letter to that is a letter that sounds like it. Number 9 says final notice of intent to levy, but doesn't have the hearing language letter in it, so it's not the same letter. The IRS must send this letter out before they can levy, and if they do, it gives you a chance to ask for a hearing. See? Request for a collection due process hearing, okay? And when you do that in a CDPH, collection due process hearing, if you lose, then they can go collect. But you can have 1, 2, 3 years this process may take before you even get to collection. Okay? So these letters are very important. If the IRS did not send you these letters, and sometimes they don't, guess what? And if their tax is not shown on your 1040 confession form, you have not confessed to it on your own, then you can challenge them. Then you can go to court and challenge them. Tax court, U.S. tax court, or United States District Court. They both have advantages and disadvantages. There's just too much to go, but you wouldn't know what to do. You need to help somebody like Freedom Law School to do that, because it's not something I can show you how to do here. It's like asking a doctor, how do I go fix my broken hand, put my bones back together. Okay, I cannot tell you that. You got to write legal papers, know the IRS code sections, the court cases, the procedures. Basically, you can go to court and challenge the IRS for not having followed the law, not having sent you, as required by law, certified notice of deficiency or by certified mail, a final notice of intent to levy, and notice of your right to hearing. You can and should challenge them. Now, the challenge may take some time, 3 months, 6 months, a year for it to work, because the court system is slow or longer. So sometimes calling the IRS agent about it, who's collecting and explaining stuff to them, may work. Usually not. But, look, it doesn't hurt to ask. It doesn't hurt to ask. Okay? Now, I'm going to have you go to my screen in just 2 seconds. I'm going to show you a law. You can show the IRS agent that may actually stop the levy. If you can get to an agent, show the actual law, okay? That'd be great. Let's go to the screen, James, okay? We're going to look up this law, okay? It's called 26 space USC 6331, I think it is. And then House.gov. What we just looked up right now is Category 26 of federal laws, okay? United States Code, Category 26 on tax laws, Section 6331. Okay, you're gonna, and by going House.gov, you get the official version coming from the House of Representatives. Okay, here it is, comes up from uscode.house.gov. Let's open that link in a new tab. And here it is, levy and distraint. See, 26 USC, levy and distraint. Distraint means taking money by force. Here it is, authority of secretary. Let's read the law as published by House of Representatives. If any person liable to pay any tax neglects or refuses to pay the same within 10 days after notice and demand, it shall be lawful for the secretary to collect such tax, okay, by a levy upon all property and rights to property, okay, except whatever is exempt, which is a very small amount. Now, check, okay, which is, belonging to such person, the victim, okay. Now, check out the second sentence. Levy may be made upon the accrued salary or wages of any employee, private worker, anybody who's American, anybody? No. It's very restricted, folks. You'll see kind of wages or salaries of any officer, employee, or elected official of the, look at that, United States, the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of the United States or the District of Columbia. Look at that. The law doesn't say you can be a county, state, city worker, private worker, can levy. No. It clearly says it's on a federal government employee. Now, the law is so clear, this thing. Check this out. You go down, listen to the law. That's Section A, right? Look at B, C, D, E, F, G, H, all this stuff, right? You scroll down. It's a long law. Right there, the 2I. Yeah, to the debt. So go down to K, the last section. But look at this. The IRS must have the levy to a bank or employer or any third party conveniently takes out this Section A. They take it out. They say, here's this relevant law that applies, some relevant law that apply. And they have from B, seizure of a property, C, successive seizures, everything else, all the stuff I'm highlighting, all that, they will send to the employer, bank, or third party to steal your money, but not A. Because A, we're going to go back up to, shows how limited the law is as written by Congress, the United States, on levies. It only applies to who? United States and District of Columbia employees, officials, anybody that work for them. They just take it out. I've known in some occasions, rare occasions, look at me, folks, I'm going to tell you guys something interesting. I know many of you think the IRS is an evil entity, and they are. But IRS is really no such thing. It's just a bunch of human beings that work there. There are good people who work for the IRS who couldn't find a job at a private enterprise, couldn't start their own business. There are good people in there, honest people. If you show them the law I just showed you is published by Congress from this website, from Congress's website, and send it to the IRS employee who's levying your paycheck or bank account or whatever, and say, look, I'm not an employee or elected official, or officer of the U.S. government or D.C. or its instrumentalities. and they might leave you alone. I don't know one occasion that has happened without this copy, official copy. So you never know. Try that. And let me know how it works. I've known and heard of people that the IRS employees left the IRS, stopped working for them because they learned that income tax is a fraud. And they learned it because of someone like you who opened their eyes like this by showing them the law. So that might work. So you've done two good things. You may stop your levy, and you may have one good person who could have hurt a lot of people unknowingly, inadvertently, leave the IRS and leave the deadwood, incompetent, angry, jealous, you know, emotional, moody, incompetent, you know, drunk. Let those deadwood that are collecting a paycheck do nothing. Let them stay at the IRS. Because those guys don't hurt you as much. They're lazy. They're not productive. So that's another way you could try to stop the levy, by showing the whole law, Section 6331, which I just showed you, to the IRS employee who's attacking you. And talk to them nicely. Talk to them kindly. Get to the heart and the conscience. Both. Hey, you know, Ms. Joanne Robinson, use your phony name. I know you're a good person. I know you're trying to do your job. I'm not blaming you because you're here, you've got a job to do. You have to do your job and do it right. And I respect you because I know you, when you go home, you look at your spouse and your children, you want to look in, straight in the eye and know you're not, you're only following the law as written by Congress that we the people elect. That's your job. You need to do that and do it right. And I respect you for that. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for taking your oath to uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States very seriously. Now, if I may respectfully show you the full copy of the law that applies here, take a look at it, and I'll ask you to do not believe me. Do not believe anybody on the internet, but do not plead kindly your managers, supervisors, who may have lied and deceived you. I'm not showing you the law. I'm going to show you the law as published by House of United States House of Representatives themselves. And you show them this from the website. Now, here it is. I'm going to leave it with you, and I'll leave it to you and your goodness and your conscience, God-given conscience. I know you're going to do the right thing. I know you're going to fulfill your conscience and do the right thing because you're a good person. You're going to read the law for yourself, and you're not going to take any lies and deception and double meanings from other people because the law is very clear. And look at the levy you sent me, the form the IRS gave you. They deliberately took this section, 6331A, out. All the others, the rest of the sections are there. But the very first one, the most important, that shows you how limited the power of the IRS levy is conveniently taken out. So law is misapplied to people like me who are hurt. I'm going to be on the street. Can I pay my rent? Can I feed my family? I'll be hurt. My children will be hurt because they misled you to ignore and violate the law of Congress that you're supposed to follow, that you want to follow. So leave that in your able, kind hands and pray to God that you will do the right thing, which I feel you're going to do. End the call. And follow up in a couple of days. Say, please call. This is my number. Call me. Let's talk tomorrow. If you have a chance to read this, pray on it. Let's talk about it tomorrow. You'll be surprised. If you approach them that way, not with an antagonistic way, but in a kind way, you take down the walls of resistance. And for the first time, this person sees, whoa, I've been lied to. And I've been used to hurt people. I don't want to be part of that. They'll stop, possibly, and you maybe even leave the IRS. Okay? So that's one other thing you could do. There's more things you can do. And like I said, if no sufficiency is not sent to you or collection due process, you can challenge them. But for those who you have to contact the Freedom Law School to evaluate the thing in more detail, because I got to go over your paperwork to see what the IRS did send you. What did they not send you? okay? I gave you a sample of what NOLA's deficiencies look like, cholesterol processing layers look like on the website I just gave you a few minutes ago, but they changed the look of those layers. So you may not recognize them, okay, because they change them all the time. So you can get your paperwork to Freedom Law School. I'll check them out on these Thursday night calls. I help you free of charge. Even though normally I charge $360 an hour for my one-on-one time consultation, paid first hour $240. On these Thursday nights, once a week, I'm yours for free, my friend. And I want you to take advantage of it, okay? Go to my screen now in just a second. I'm going to show you how to go there and send up to 10 pages of paperwork free of charge, okay, where I can help you guys, okay? Let's go to Freedom Law School website, okay? And then at the very bottom of our page, at the very bottom, see, it says contact us. The very bottom right, you see contact us next to home and privacy policy. Click on contact us at the bottom right. And that takes you to Freedom Law School's contact page. Address is here, phone number 813-444-4800. That's there. Our hours are there, 9 to 6 Eastern Time Zone in Florida. And you can email us and attach the documents, okay, up to 10 pages, folks. You can send me your levy or whatever you got, IRS issue. I will look at it. Let me know you're going to be calling. Confirm that we get it, Freedom Law School, that document, the letter. You got to call Freedom Law School. Make sure we got it, okay? And you're going to call. Don't send a letter and don't call. Call 7 p.m. Eastern Time on any Thursday night on the Freedom Hour, and I'll help you for free as best as I can. So now look back to me, folks. Listen, here's my thing. There is way too many people for Freedom Law School to help out. There's no way I can help everybody. There's over 300 million Americans. So my goal is to help as many of you learn this stuff and do it yourself as much as possible. I try to give you guys as many of these tools, the law, the procedures, as you saw, to do it yourself. Okay. But sometimes your situation is more complex. It's like handle your little neck pain. You can do it, good. Don't need to see a chiropractor. But if you got a neck pain, back problems, really bad, all that kind of stuff, you need to see a chiropractor probably, okay? Or a Rolfer or muscle activation technique or some other good specialist to see what's going on. Okay? So if you got a real serious issue, it's urgent, contact Freedom Law School, do a private one-on-one consultation, because then I will need to evaluate everything, that what you did not do, analyze that, and figure out what to do. You know, what's your best options are A, B, C. There's options. What to go? They all have risks, rewards, and benefits. For example, I like the tax court judges usually better than U.S. District Court federal judges, because they know the tax law better. And they don't mind ruling against the IRS as often as the federal judges, regular district court judges, who are afraid of the IRS because there are no tax law. They just, I literally have better luck with tax court judges than district court. But the district court judges have more power to stop the IRS and force them to give you money back. So, which one do you do, you know? Sometimes it's a toss-up. You evaluate the possibility, okay? And now, if you're a non-filer, by the way, if you call the IRS, be careful. The person on the phone is going to insist on, hey, you got to file a 1040 income tax confession form for the last 4, 5, or 6 years before I consider making any deals with you. Give you a break. So you have to admit you the IRS more money for the last 4, 5, 6 years. And the IRS will want from you to fill out a piece of paper called the Collection Information Statement, Form 433-A, that you have to put under oath. Again, swear to it, all your income, assets, liabilities of you and your spouse, whoever lives in your house, because their income could support you. And they're going to put you on a very tight budget of basically that much for rent, car insurance, health insurance, that much for food, necessities, and that's it. Everything above that, they want to take. Yes. And these pennies on the dollar stuff you see on television advertising, newspapers, or radio, I got, fresh start, paid a very little bit, I've covered that before recently. That's a bunch of lies. Most people do not qualify for that. If you're poor, minimum wage, subminimum wage, social security income, yes, you qualify for those because you have nothing for them to take. Here's why. Look at my screen. I'm going to show you how that works, okay? We're going to come up. We're going to look at this thing, and we're going to do a search together, okay? Let's type in IRS table exempt levy. This is a table IRS has of how much of your money is exempt for levy. Here it is from IRS's own website, irs.gov, table for figuring amount exempt from levy on wages and salaries. Let's open that link in a new tab. Here it is. Let's make that a little bit bigger. This IRS puts it out for 2019. Okay. Here it is at the top. It says table for figuring out amount exempt from levy on wages, salary, and other income. On the top right, 2019. So, for example, look at that, these four boxes. One on the top left for single person. On the top right, merit filing joint return. Bottom left for head of household. Bottom right for merit filing separate return. Okay? So, which is really same as a single person. Look at this. If you're a single person on the top left, okay, and if you get paid once a month, look at this. Every month, $1,016.67 of your money is exempt. They cannot touch it. They have to leave that for you to survive at the poverty level. So you don't go hungry. You don't qualify for welfare, stuff like that. You make something. If you get paid semi-monthly, well, that means that $508.33 is exempt. They have to leave it alone. Bi-weekly, they have to leave it alone, $469.23. If you get paid weekly, $234.62. Look at on the right, top right. If you're married, filing joint return, right? Every month, monthly to get paid, they have to leave alone, let you keep $2,033.33. And you see the amount above that for semi-monthly, bi-weekly, weekly, daily, it's all there above that. So basically about $1,000 per person they have to let you keep, and everything else they take. So those people that give you a penny on the dollar deal, they know that if you're at that low level, the IRS can't touch you anyways. Okay, if you're working part-time at, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, you know, or some of their, you know, foods establishment, you don't even make enough, they have to leave you alone. Okay? So let's come back to me now, folks. Okay? So, but if you're very low income, you know, you could use this thing. You could take this table to your company you work for. Hey, I make $1,000 a month and I'm exempt from levy. You should not take anything from me. I'm single. If you make $2,000 a month, hey, I'm married. Oh, by the way, the table shows you can look at it yourself. If you have the more dependents or children you have, the more is exempt. Let's go back to the table. In fact, let me show that to you, okay? Let's go to the table for merit filing joint return on the right. Okay, it has number of dependents, the claim on the statement, okay? For example, if you have, let's go four dependents. Look at that, four dependents, $4,433.33 is exempt. They'll let you keep that much. If you have three wife and kids, $3,083.33 is exempt from levy. So the more children you have dependents, the more is exempt from levy also. So they got to leave you something not to go hungry. Let's go. So let's get back on me now. So these are all options you have to stop a levy. You can also ask for a collection appeal. Collection appeal. Call the IRS for collection appeal. Okay. Okay. Let's go online. Look at this. Okay. Let's go on the screen. James, let's go appeal. Let's go type in IRS collection appeal form. Okay. Hit enter. Okay. Okay, here we go. Here comes up the PDF, okay? Form 9423, Collection Appeal Request of IRS from the own website. Open that link in a new tab. collection and field request. You can fill out this form, follow the instructions, okay? Do it right away. But these guys, remember, they're going to try to force you. Let me make the bigger the form. You can see it better. To fill out, here's the form, okay? To get you to fill out 1040 confession form for the last few years you haven't filed. 1040 confession forms. So that's the only downside of this because they're going to try to do that. But you can try. And you can show this person the IRS section 6331A, which I showed you earlier. All right. Now, the last option is filing bankruptcy. Yes. You can bankrupt taxes. But there are conditions and limitations on when you can bankrupt taxes. Number one, you must have filed all the taxes that you want to bankrupt. Have filed a 1040 confession form for those years. That's the advantage for filers. That's number one. Two years must have passed since the return was was required to be filed, and 3 years have passed since the IRS had a chance to collect on the tax. In other words, IRS had 3 years to collect the money from you. They're not successful. Now you can bankrupt it. However, if you're a non-filer, you could file the tax return now, and after 2-3 years, bankrupt the taxes after a few years, but only in the 8th Circuit Federal Court of Appeal you can do that. Let's go to my screen. I'll show you what I mean by that. Okay. Let's go type and look up Federal Courts of Appeal map. Okay, the map will come up. Courts of Appeal map. Here we go. Now we're gonna go to images. Go to on the top, go to images, and all these pictures come up, Federal Courts of Appeal. Okay? Here it is. Okay, this is my favorite one. This one shows. Here it is. You can see it right here. On the left is the green, the 9th Circuit Court of Appeal. There are 12 circuit courts. They call them circuits. Because back in the old days, the judges used to really travel in circuits on a horse and a buggy, literally, on a circuit or a circle. There's 12 of them. The D.C. Circuit of Washington, D.C., and from the northeast, 1, 2, 3, these circuits, they count and go. So some of the courts that appear like 5th Circuit in Texas and the area have ruled you cannot bankrupt the taxes unless you filed it yourself earlier or earlier on your own originally with the IRS's assistance. So late filed 1040 forms taxes cannot be bankrupted. So 8th Circuit above on the top, okay, this one in the pinkish orange, like in Minnesota, you know, Dakotas, Iowa, Arkansas, these are ones that you can definitely bankrupt there. So I've known people that what they have done is they follow the 1040 confession forms, and when it was time, they made some payment arrangement with the IRS, some kind of a small payment plan, and then they went up and resided in one of those states for maybe a year or so, got an address there, and bankrupted all the taxes. So yes, sometimes people go through all kinds of stuff to bankrupt the huge amount of taxes. That's just the way it works, folks. You know, you gotta do what you gotta do. People have done that. I've heard about it. Okay. Again, I know I can tell you a lot more about this, but that's really the last option. Now let me tell you something. Another option you have. I know other people also that they file bankruptcy. And when you file bankruptcy, just the filing of it stops all collections, even the IRS. First, pay the fees. You have to take some classes. But they do not file Chapter 7 bankruptcy unless you have no equity in real estate, money bank accounts, or stocks, bonds. Because if you go to Chapter 7, your money, you cannot get out without the permission of the trustee. You're locked in, and they're going to take all your stuff involuntarily. You cannot get out. Okay? Do not follow chapter 7. Chapter 13 is a repayment plan. Within 3 to 5 years, you can go there and get out on your own if you want to in bankruptcy court. So once you file for bankruptcy, then immediately all creditors, anybody you owe money, including the IRS, has to stop collecting. However, as long as you're in bankruptcy court, the IRS has normally 10 years to collect the money, 10 years. If you're in bankruptcy court for, let's say, 3 months, the 3 months get added. While you're in bankruptcy, that time period extends the IRS's time to collect the tax by that amount of time, plus another 6 months on top of that. Because the IRS is such an incompetent organization, it takes them 6 months just to catch up with themselves, okay? And you realize, oh, yeah, he got into bankruptcy. Let's go try to attack him, the victim. They put that in law for the IRS slow bureaucrats to catch up and collect it from people. So I've known people who've done that. I recommend it, generally speaking, but they don't even qualify for bankruptcy. But they told me pay them out. I did that because I needed to, give some time to change my job, I was going to go hungry on the street with my paycheck. I just needed a little more time before I could change my job or whatever. And so I needed that. So IRS gets to come back at me and add another 6 months to collect. That's fine. I'd rather just have that breathing space that I needed. So I know some people use that for that. But I have to do it multiple times, like maybe 3 times, four times. The court can stop you from filing bankruptcy court or say that any further bankruptcy filings will not stop any collection by any third parties. Because they would consider you to be a abusive bankruptcy filer. And, so as such, then the bankruptcy court will not work either. So people can do that for a few times. It helps them keep them maybe 3 months in the bankruptcy court, 4 months, 6 months. But they fall out. They do it again. But after a few times, it will not work again. All right? So, folks, that's it. I've covered the ways that you can stop the IRS levy. And remember, bottom line is this. There is no law requiring the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. The whole thing is a fraud to begin with. You should have to pay it. Now, I'm going to show it to you one quick way right now. Look at my screen right now. Okay, I'm going to show you the law. Those of you who don't believe me, I'll show you real quick. Let's look at here at federal law. Let's type in IRS code, Internal Revenue Code, the tax laws, 26 space USC section 61. Okay? And then House.gov to get the official version from the government's own website. Here it is, section 1, gross income defined. Let's open that link in a new tab. And you'll see here it is, 26, gross income defined, right? And it says, gross income defined, right? It says, except as otherwise provided, the subtitle gross income means all income from whatever source derived, okay, including, but not limited to, which doesn't mean anything in parentheses, all these things, these 14 items. Look at that. They include things like number 7, dividends, number 6, royalties. Look at number 1, fringe benefits are mentioned. I mean, fringe benefits is such a small item. Who are even going to bother? It's such a small amount to tax. But Congress thought about that. Look what's missing from this big list, the big elephant missing, folks, is wages and salaries. Oh, my gosh. Can you believe that all the government lawyers, all 500-plus congressmen and their lawyers all were stupid and forgot to list wages and salaries? No. They didn't forget. They never intended to care to tax your wages and salaries. Okay? And it just wasn't there. And if you look at this U.S. Supreme Court case I got here called U.S. Let's type it here. U.S. period versus gold. U.S. space V, period space Gould. You know, I'm sorry, Gould versus Gould. My mistake. Gould. G-O-U-L-D space V period G-O-U-L-D. Here comes the Supreme Court case. Here it is from finallaw.com. Okay. We're going to open it up right now. Okay. In 1917. And here it is. Gould versus Gould, 1917. United States Supreme Court said it, folks. In November 1917. Okay. And here's the language of the court right here, this paragraph. What does it say? In the interpretation or understanding of statutes, laws, levying taxes, imposing taxes, it is well established rule not to extend their provisions of the tax laws, by implication, beyond the clear import of the language used, beyond the clear meaning of the language of the law, or to enlarge the operations of the law so as to embrace matters or not specifically pointed out. So you cannot tax things that are not specifically listed out. And on top of that, the law has got to be specifically clearly shown an object, a person, an activity's tax is going to be specifically there, not implied. In case of doubt, right, they are construed more strongly against the government and in favor of the citizen. Bam. This is a unanimous Supreme Court decision, folks. Look at me, my friends. I can show you a lot more on this. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to take it right now. If this is the first time you've seen this, to Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward. I've offered for 20 years, $100,000 for anybody that can show a Freedom Law School the law that requires you, the average American, to file income tax. There's a lot more, by the way. If you're a business owner, you don't own an income tax either, by the way. All this applies, by the way, to people in D.C. And that's another time I'll cover that topic. It's a bunch of lies. It's a whole deep state scam and deception that you just got your eyes opened up a little bit about the deception I just showed, just a little bit. There's more. Okay, so check. That's why you want to be on our email list. Get our information package mailed to you, free education package of Freedom Law School at livefreenow.org. I'm going to email you this stuff and mail you this stuff to educate yourself and open your mind so you know what's going on so you can be free. Okay, so let's go to the screen. I'm going to show you Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward. Okay, let's go to the Freedom Law School on the first page. Here it is. Under, education materials, go down to income tax reward, okay? The second drop-down menu, income tax reward. Click on that, and that takes you to a $300,000 income tax reward. Watch this two-minute video, very short. And IRS employees have been spying on me for 26 years, 1993. I documented, folks. Yes, they spy on me. But they can't shut me down because I'm telling them the truth. I'm exposing the lies of the government, okay? And they cannot show the law that requires the heritage, the average American to file income tax. They cannot. There is no law. So read this, folks, and read this law professor tried to challenge it, Jonathan Siegel. He lost. He couldn't do it. This guy he's a George Washington Law School professor. He can show me the law. You can click on here, see it, and his link here on the blue, dark blue. You see how he failed. You can read the details. And watch his videos of the former IRS Special Agent Joe Bannister, his gun-carrying IRS Special Agent, who defected to Freedom Movement to the and exposing IRS lies. Watch this documentary, American Freedom of Fascism, right here. Great eye-opening, folks. And give it to your friends. Okay? Now, look, let me tell you something else, folks. Freedom Law School is censored by YouTube, okay, in a tacit way. I'm going to show you. We need you to get the truth out, okay? This information. I'll prove it to you. Now, we go to YouTube, and let's go type it, David Getoff. Okay, hit enter, okay? David Getoff was a speaker on health that I had come to speak in my 2000 Freedom Rally about health and nutrition. Great presentation, by the way. And see, this presentation, 198 views, comes first. 124 views comes first, and the second, 121 views, third, 217, all this stuff, right? and then his subscribe channel, which has hardly any subscribers, and then all his other presentations, and he's, oh, look at this. Other people have this abundant health, you know, 99 views. You know, look at this one, 14 views. This other stuff, how do you even watch this stuff? Let's keep going, right? You want to know about David Guetta? Well, look at this, by golly. Here's the one with 84,000 views of David Guetta, right here, right? This one, David Guetta. Well, geez, that's the most seen views of David Guetta at Freedom Law School's Freedom Rally, 84,000. But it's showing up way down there. That means anytime you search anything on the internet, Freedom Law School will not come on the first ones. You have to really look for it. They don't just outright ban us. This is called shadow banning. You just show up very low on the search results. After over a dozen, and look, you know, look at all these, none of these come close to us. This one is 7,900 views. None of these videos has been as 8 years as long as Freedom Law School and have as many views as Freedom Law School. Okay? So look at me, folks. You know what that means? That means the matrix of lies is the one you do know the truth. So, folks, the only way to get this information out is because you got to Freedom Law School. You got here, folks. Congratulations! But the only way to get it out is by you emailing this presentation and other presentations of Freedom Law School to your friends, our website, on Facebook, on YouTube. See, they don't censor that because you're just an individual. But organizations like Freedom Law School, no, they want to, they can do that. Say, Freedom Law School searches, no matter what subject it is, will come down way down low. Now, that's just hell. How about the IRS stuff? When you search IRS stuff, Freedom Law School searches will come down a lot lower. That's why, my friend, you are instrumental to fight the crooked banksters, the high-tech companies that want to censor the truth and keep you in the darkness of slavery. And get these links to your friends on your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever you got, email, print out material. Call us. We give you extra information packages mailed to you for free to pass out to your friends. So we can have you be free. Your friend be free. And we all work together, stop the Irish robbery. We have to file income tax. That isn't all the requirements do. Take a stand. You can courageously take a stand, and Freedom Law School can help you, educate you, and back you up. And folks, let me go to my screen. You're not alone. If you ask a payment, well, what can you offer me? Look, you see this course packages on our website? There's all this stuff. There's choices available. Okay? I give you a lot more detailed courses, education material, you know, to help you educate you, to help yourself, okay? And also, if you need help to get the IRS off your back, to fight these crooks at the IRS, Freedom Law School can do that, can respond, write letters for you to get these crooks and beat them. And look at our victories. On the top are victories. Folks, this stuff works. Our victories. Freedom Law, FLS victories, IRS victories. Look at our students. They've been the IRS, as many of them right on this page. Many IRS victories. I got to put more up there. Okay? Look at Freedom Law School. I beat them myself, even though I'm a big target. I've been the IRS myself several times. Here they are. $700,000 there. It came after me for over 10 years and I zeroed it out. Okay? They called me abusive tax shelter for 13 plus years. They backed off that hoax. Just like a Trump-Russia conspiracy hoax. They backed off. Okay? So the answers or solutions are available to you at Freedom Law School. Let's get to your questions, folks. So, but bottom line, folks, there are options. Let me go over everything summarized for you. You can write to your IRS agent, show up the law, 6331A of the IRS Internal Revenue Code, and you have a heart and a conscience, and leave you alone. If they haven't sent you a notice deficiency or close due process hearing letter, you can go to tax court, U.S. District Court, challenge the IRS there. And you can also, of course, you can change jobs, you know, start your own business, you know, be out of that situation, those options are there. If you're poor, they got to leave you that much exempt amount. If you make little income, they cannot touch you, okay, because you make too little. And under certain conditions, you can bankrupt the taxes. Now, which one's the best one for you? Again, if you're on a levee right now and attack right away, like I said, because I have to ask you all kind of questions about your situation, just like a doctor. Doctor, you call a doctor on a radio show. I got this and that other problem. He give you some basic tips, but he's going to tell you, look, for me to really help you, you have to come to my office, and I got to do a full examination of you and some tests and maybe further tests to see what's going on with you, with your condition, what your pain is caused by, and then I can give you prescription of what to do, right? Well, this tax stuff is no different. It's the same thing. Okay, I'll just give you a simple thing that could work, which I gave you all the tools as much as I could to do it on your own. Okay, but I probably have to go through all your paperwork, all your history, your situation, evaluate it all, and see how is option A, B, or C work for you. Okay, evaluate all that and take it from there. Remember, filers have less options than non-filers, okay, except bankruptcy. Okay, that's better for filers there. So that's something that you have to decide where to go. So with that, let's go, James, to your question. Anybody on YouTube has any questions? I'll answer it right now. But let's go to your question on calling. If you have questions, call this call-in number. Call area code 657-383-1755. Again, the call-in number is, if you have questions, 657-383-1755. Then push 1 so that we'll be notified that you have a question. The number one more time is 657-383-1755. Okay. So we got no questions on YouTube right now. Okay. So while waiting for your questions, you're going to call in. Let me just go over a couple of things on our website, folks. We got a question with someone with a caller. Okay, here we go. We got a call from area code 347. A call from area code 347. You are live on Freedom Law School, Freedom Hour. What is your first name only? For privacy, don't give me last name. Your first name only, my friend.
Hello, Payman.
Your name. Hello.
Can you hear me?
What's your first name? Yes. Please get off the speakerphone. Speakers' phones do not work. They create echoes. Use the headset or put the phone to your head. Do not use the speakerphone, please. Yes. What is your first name, my friend?
Fred.
Okay, Fred. Could you get off the speakerphone, please?
I'm trying. All right. Give me a second.
Just so you all know, folks, speakerphones look convenient, but they don't work.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better. Keep talking.
Can you hear me
now? Now it's better. Yes. Yes, Fred.
All right. Okay. It's about 7701 A16, the withholding agent, regarding specifically a non-resident alien. I just wanted to get your take on 7701 lowercase b, 1 uppercase b, which deals with the definition of non-resident alien. Because it seems to be saying that if a non-resident alien, basically is an individual who is not a resident or citizen of the United States. You already defined what a citizen of the United States is under 7701A9. And 10 respectively. And so it seems that to say that you're not a non-resident alien is almost like saying that you are a resident or citizen of the District of Columbia.
Okay, Fred, you asked this question on Facebook, and I gave you a quick answer. You were right. I agree with you. But you've blown the head gasket of all the other listeners I got on the call. So I'm going to go with that for benefit of everybody else quickly. Since you brought it up, let's look at my screen, folks. We're going to go look up the laws he's talking about, okay? So, James, you're at the screen right now. Let's go and look at – we're going to look up this law, 26 space USC space 7701. Remember, this is category or Title 26 of federal laws, United States Code, USC is the abbreviation. Okay? And that's with House.gov to get the official government version of from House of Representatives website. And here it comes, definitions. You know, open that link in a new tab, and here it is. This is definitions. Okay? Title 26, 7701, definition of everything. Okay? They define everything. They define the word person. Really? Do you need to define person? Yes, you do. How about a partnership or partner? Yes, you do. Corporation, domestic. Everything is defined. Okay? The term United States, 9, when used in a geographical sense, includes only the states and District of Columbia. Well, what other sense is there? Your geographical sense is the main thing, right? Is D.C., United States means D.C., not the 50 states. Okay, now look at the term state. The term states shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, which such construction is necessary to carry out provisions of this title. Well, the last part of the sentence is meaningless. Okay? Basically, the word state also means D.C. So everything here is talking about D.C. So for this whole title, whenever you see the word the United States or state, it means D.C. Okay? And so if you go down section B1B, talking about D1, this is a long law. Lot of subsections, right? If you put yourself on mute, please. Otherwise, after that, Fred, your background noise, please. Thank you. So if you go down, it's a long, look at all this. I'm not even down to B yet. It's not, here it is, definition of resident alien, non-resident alien, okay? So B1B is non-resident alien. Okay? An individual is a non-resident alien. Such an individual is neither a citizen of the United States nor a resident of the United States. Okay? Within the meaning of paragraph A, which we talked about earlier. Right. Okay? So you're neither a citizen or a resident of the United States. That's right. So, yeah, you could argue that if you live in one of the 50 states, yeah, that you are a non-resident alien. Why? Because you're neither a citizen of that District of Columbia or you reside in the District of Columbia. So that's a very good observation on your part, my friend Fred. Good job. So yes, you are non-resident alien if you live in California, Texas, Florida, New York. Yes, you are non-resident alien. But remember this. Look at me in the face, folks. Can you get me back on me, please? Here's the problem. Until the internet was created and you could find laws for free on the internet, all this was kept from you. Go to mute Fred, please, so it doesn't have background noise, James. This was, kept from you. You couldn't read the law for yourself. You had to go to a law library physically, like I did back in 1990s. I had to physically get in my car, drive 50 minutes to a physical law library, park, pay parking fee, go in there, find the book, and find the law. But then, because the book's so expensive, I have to pay 15 cents of 1992 money. It's like 34 cents today's money per copy of a page to take that home for use later on. Very expensive and difficult and cumbersome. That's how they get to deceive us and lie to us. And the crooked federal courts of U.S. District Court and Courts of Appeal deliberately ignore the laws. Okay? You know, I showed you wages are not listed under IRS Code Section 61, but federal courts of appeal crookedly have said, we have said once and for all, wages are income. Well, I don't care, Mr. Federal Court of Appeal judge. You're a judge with a rule. They call you a judge, but you who ruled that, you are a crook. You're a sellout. You're a wimp. You sold your soul for evil. May your soul rest in peace when you go and have your life review and you see what a hurt you've done to people, because you want to protect that that money source of the government, Mr. Judge. Very, I feel very sad for that, for you judges who do that. Knowingly, they ignore the law. But the gig is up. Because now everybody can read the law for themselves. What Congress said is not what the courts have said. Courts have changed it to. Just like we had Donald Trump trying to protect us from foreigners, stop foreigners from coming to America from certain countries, and the federal district court crooks and court of appeal crooks said, you cannot do that, Donald Trump. It took the U.S. Supreme Court to reverse all this. Crooked lower-level judges. Recently, Donald Trump wanted to use some defense funds and other federal funds allowed by law to build the wall to protect his country from drugs and illegal aliens who bring him in. Again, crooked district court judges and court of appeal judges said, you can't do that, Trump. I stopped you because I'm a judge. I know the law better than anybody else. I get to rule on this. But they abused that power. And the U.S. Supreme Court recently to reverse all that nonsense by 5-4 decision. It was close. 4 crooks are up in the Court of Appeal. Thank goodness the 5 majority, went over. It was that close. They've been doing this for a long time to people, folks. The crooked U.S. is part of injustice. And these judges have been just railroading and enslaving you into poverty because they want more money and more power for their government. Their communist government, a cult of government is in power. They are a cult, folks. A cult. C-U-L-T. The cult of government has one god called money and power. They lie, they deceive. But when you see when you got the truth, it's like a light to Dracula. Show them the law. We don't want to talk about it. You're fearless. Now run and hide. Look him straight in the eye. Now look at me in the eye. You have to look him straight in the eye. Heart to heart. They know, so you don't need to be afraid. You're going to get the same paycheck from your current job as a government employee, as an IRS agent, as a judge, as a government lawyer. Just follow the law that you're sworn to uphold. Not what your deep state managers have deceived you and coerced you to push you doing. Do the right thing. Okay? All right, let's. All right. All right, Fred. I hope I was able to answer your question without getting too complex for my other callers, because we can get very complex with this stuff, Fred. Very much so. So I appreciate you on your own reading this stuff, but you're basically correct. Okay? But the thing to do is what to do about it, Fred. It's that for someone like you who's done your homework is what to do. Okay? So go to my screen. I'll show you what to do. You should all write Congress about all this. You go to Freedom Lawson's website. Let's go mute him again, the background noise. And then go under our education materials. Go under Educate Congress tab, okay? Educate Congress tab. Watch the videos on this page. Read it about the oath that people to take a hold of the Constitution. Watch the audios and videos on this call, on this page. Very much on point. And here's Donald Trump taking the oath to uphold the Constitution. All government employees take that oath. Every one of them in federal government. Gave them by law they must. They hold them to the oath. Write them letters. There's a red letter here. Reader's agreements letter. And attachments about income tax fraud. Okay? This is all for free, folks. Free. You should all do it. Okay? I know it sounds a little intimidating to print and mail all this stuff. It's not really that bad. But send it to all your 3 congressmen. To your U.S. senators and House member, okay? And you want Freedom Laws to do it for you? Fine. On the course packages, Freedom Laws can do it for you in any of these top 3 packages, the beginners, simple, or Royal Freedom package. But like I said, you can do it all yourself. But do it. We all need to have this. We have en masse large numbers of Americans send these letters to the Congress and confront these people who are supposed to uphold the Constitution, who are supposed to restrain the IRS, supposed to restrain the outlaw crooked courts, because they don't represent us anymore. They're all the cult of the government. The people in Congress are supposed to represent us and push them, encourage them, talk to them, communicate with them, to do the right thing. Okay? All right, let's go to any other questions we have, perhaps. Any other questions we have on that right now, James? We have on YouTube a question. Could you go over passport instruction, fourth page? Okay, Jessica's asking, okay, well, you mean, well, I don't know what instruction you're talking about. I got to look up the passport application online. But I'm not sure what you're referring to. There's a lot that I could go over. Okay, so the thing about the passport is that, you know, I think you may be referring to the fact that they're asking for your Satan's surveillance number. Is that what you're referring to? Social security number? Okay, you really got to call Jessica, ask your question live, because I'm not sure what specific thing you want me to tell you about the instructions. What about the instructions? I can go over just any government form on internet. You know, without you give me some specific questions. So ask me some specific questions, and I'll be happy to address it for you. You know, if not tonight, the next Freedom Hour, I'll be happy to address it for you. Now listen, folks, if you're not becoming a subscriber of Freedom Law School channel on YouTube, do it. We're going to be getting other platforms to cover us before one day YouTube completely bans us. Okay? Be on our email list. Make sure that you get our communication with us. Get on our email list on our front page, our YouTube channel. We're going to go to other places as a backup in case they want to ban us to get our videos education out to you. And you can get them out to other people, folks. Okay? All right, my friends. I think we have one more question calling from YouTube. We've got a question. And, well, here we go. We have a call from area code 423. Your live call from area code 423. What is your first name, my friend?
Josette.
Josette. Very good, Josette. And how may I assist you?
I just got into affiliate marketing, and they want a W-9 from me. So
okay.
I'm wondering what do I do? If I don't fill it out, I don't get paid.
Well, you have two options. One is to just fill it out and get it over. You want to get paid that badly? You can do that. They want, all they want, the company, is to have a piece of paper from you affirming what is your Satan's surveillance number, the control number that they track you by, like a slave. You can change your name from Josette to David to Robert to Mary, all you want. I don't care. Because now your name is that number. You are that number. That's sadly, that's how it works. And there's no law requiring you get one in the first place. So that's option one, of course, default. So now if you said that, the other option is to ask them that, tell them that, look, you researched the issue and talked to counsel, and you found that there's no law that requires you to do so. Your tax counsel is very particular and meticulous and wants to make sure you don't do things wrong. And ask you, the company, to please show me the law that requires me to give the number, the form to you, and I'll be happily to comply it. I'll comply. Just show me the law. And there is no law. They won't do that. You will have to probably go up through the chain of the low-level clerk of the payroll department to the manager of that payroll department to the bigger manager, probably to their CPA or controller or human resource director, and possibly venture down to their lawyer and tax lawyer. Ah, and so look, I'm going to follow the law. So that's the thing that, you're going to want to do. If that takes too long, that process, the reality is, you may have to just give them that form and move on. I don't have a silver bullet. I wish I did. Any other questions?
What if I put TDC on there with my name?
You can do that. but, you know, it doesn't change the fact that they have the number. They got the number. They got the number. They're going to use that to try to report what you made as taxable income illegally, falsely to the IRS anyhow. So you can put it out there, but it won't change it in practice. Now, I know some of the people, what they do, by the way, is an option. They do it for business planning, estate planning purposes. They work through an entity that they run or manage, a corporation, a trust, a limited liability company, or limited liability partnership, or another entity. And then that entity would have to give its number to the company. So some people, by doing that process, they solve the issue of not having to give their own Satan's surveillance number to the company. So that's an option you may want to pursue also. And I work for many people.
But
any other question I can help you with?
When
yes?
you do like limited liability, don't you still have to give a number?
Well, limited liability company will get its own if it can its own EIN number, its own ID number, and you can give that number, or a trust or a corporation will have its own number. You give that number to the company, not yours.
And then what? Just set up a bank account with that number?
Yes.
Oh.
For the entity,
okay.
It's not you. Just
right.
Like Jeff Bezos owns Amazon, much of it, but he's not the. He's not Amazon, but he's the enemy. He's a super Zionist enemy. I'm a Jewish myself, but I guess all the Zionist powerful crooks. So the Facebook owner is Mark Zuckerberg. He owns, I think, about over 50% of the stock of Facebook. Did they censor us? You know. So yeah, he's not Facebook. He's just the biggest share owner of Facebook. Okay.
Speaking of Facebook, I saw on your website that you have to sign into Facebook to leave a comment on your page. Have you thought of like using somebody else, like Disguise or something?
You know,
because I don't have Facebook.
That's
and
a good
point.
I mean, on Blog Talk Radio, on our page, we'd have on our website a comment page. I don't see on Blog Talk Radio we have a comment page. I don't not on our website that I'm aware of.
Oh, that must be on that where you're
looking. On Blog Talk Radio. That's how it works.
Okay. You're right. You're right.
That,
okay.
When you go through that, that's not our website. That's Blog Talk Radio.
Right. I missed that.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay. That's good. You're good?
Yep. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Gisette. Okay. You're welcome. Do you have any call of James tonight? Okay. We have another call from area code 941. So call from area code 941. You are live on Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. What is your first name, my friend?
Hello, Payman. My first name is John from Florida.
John, I recognize your voice. One of our students got a level one course for me a while back. Hey, John, good to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, I actually have three of your courses now. But
That's right.
Had a note for tax years 2010 and 2011. I had an issue as it pertained to 6020B and also the alternate minimum tax, and it was also for 2011 as well as 2010. I requested a collections due process hearing, and
mm-hmm.
I submitted
when
appropriate form.
When you ask me how long ago was it?
It was in time, whatever it is. I filed it within the 11/16/2000.
6 months ago, 6 years ago? That's my question. Was it recent or way back then?
2016. November
okay.
of 2016.
Got it.
And they issued a notice of determination that said that they had complied with all of, let me read it to you. We have found that all legal and administrative requirements for the action have been met. We also considered whether the collection action taken was proposed. Action balances the need for efficient collection of taxes. They did not comply with their own rules.
Right.
And then the judge issued in tax court And when I filed in tax court, they amended my application at tax court, which had a, let me flip the page here so I can get to it. I had a supplement to Form 2153, which I included as the reason 2010 and 2011 should be co-joined, because they had two common problems that I had with the IRS. And they had put me on notice that my computations on 2010 were improper, so I couldn't file 2011. I asked how I could file it without signing it or not exposing myself to perjury. And they told me that there was no way that it could be done. But in the end, and let me find the notice, I appealed I never got a collection process hearing because I got a call unannounced at 1 o'clock one afternoon when I was sick in bed. I had a diabetic toe, and I had I was really sick from a red tide down here on the west coast of Florida. Mm-hmm. And I asked for more time to gather my documents and to heal. And when I called the lady back later on, she said that she had marked me down as being totally uncooperative and that she was closing the case. I never had the hearing. And the tax court found that I did have a hearing. In their motion for summary judgment, the IRS said that I did have a hearing. But when the appeals officer for the supplemental notice of determination found that, quote, upon remand from the U.S. Tax Court Appeals made a determination that you never had a prior opportunity to dispute your 2010 tax liability. Furthermore, appeals determined that the 2010 tax liability was not assessed properly by the IRS, as neither deficiency nor math or procedures appeared to have been followed. Appeals finds the assessment invalid, and all of the assessed tax and penalties should be abated as a matter of law. Now, that was found for 2010. The supplemental notice determination never addressed the tax year 2011, and that's for like $19,000.
Okay.
They filed me when they did my 6020B filing on my behalf. They filed me as a single, as a married person filing individually. Every filing that I have done in the past from the time I was married in 1973 has been filed jointly. And on a alternate minimum tax schedule, you have $37,000 maximum deduction if you're an individual, and it's $74,450 or something like that if you file jointly. They filed me as an individual. I immediately notified them when they sent me the proposed filing and said, you know, that I was married. Their own rules say that they have to go to the last assessed 1040 in order to make their determinations for the year that they file on your behalf. And that was 2010, and I filed that jointly. Although they said I didn't file it jointly for 2 years, and finally they acknowledged that I did, that I even filed it, because they had originally done the 6020B for 2010 as well as 2011. Anyhow, they asserted, and in order to make a levy or a lien, they have to make a notice of determination. And in the notice of determination, they said that they had complied with all of the regulations. Let me get that out, and I'll read it to you.
Right. But listen, John, I cannot let you continue going on this along, my friend, okay? You probably should do one of my private things, so you can wrap it up, my friend. Go ahead. Uh-huh.
When they lied on the summary of determination, it should have negated their ability to make a lien or a levy, because it's a predeterminant for doing a lien or a levy. Where do I find where that would negate the notice of lying on a determination, notice of determination, would negate any lien or levy? Or don't you know?
Well, if they lied, you appeal it again to the tax court. That's what you should do within 30 days.
I appealed it to the tax court, and the tax court is worse than the IRS.
Yeah, sometimes that's the case. Yep. Yeah, and sometimes you have to go from tax court to the federal court of appeal, which sometimes they're worse than
the
tax court.
Yeah, well, I'm doing that in the 11th Circuit. I'm here in Florida with you. I'm doing that, but I want to cite where the notice of determination made the lien and levy 60/20 and 60/30, and I never got a hearing on it. And the judge said I did get a hearing, and the woman that called me said that I got a hearing, and she said that she had mailed me a letter saying I was going to have a hearing. I never got a letter. So.
Right.
But they're lying, and they didn't comply with the notice of determination. And is there a place I can look?
Yeah, there is. But the problem, to be honest with you, John, I want to help you on this call. But after all this talking, I still, this is very highly technical. You're an intelligent man, and you're a studious man. So I know since November 16, almost 3 years ago, you've done a lot of good work on this thing. And a lot of this, what to do, really depends on that very specific words used by the government or you, IRS appeals officer, on what was that, because they try to twist things out. I got to look at those exact things to give you some suggestions. Without seeing those, I cannot give you any specific thing to do. It's just the specifics of it, that devil's in the details. This is definitely one of those. So I recommend do a one-on-one consultation with me privately, bring all your paperwork with you, of course, and let's sit down together and figure out, because it's not going to be a quick thing I can tell you on the phone. I wish I could, but I can't.
Okay. Very good.
All right, John. Good
thank you.
From
have
you,
a great
friend.
God bless you.
You're
and
welcome.
I really appreciate
you.
Your help.
You're welcome, my friend. I'm sorry I was not able to help with this complex situation, which you've done a very good job. I mean, you've been doing it for close to 3 years, folks. This is a good job so people can do like John, folks. You see, he's been handling his collection due process hearing on his own and avoiding so far a levy from happening in the first place. See, and that's what I'm talking about, folks. Knowledge is power. You just heard for yourself. This man was able to articulate things, for the road to IRS, tax court, explain to me. For close to 3 years, he'd be doing this stuff on his own. Now, of course, it's gotten more complex. I mean, so there's no way I can prepare for every little thing that could come up. At this stage, he's a little bit more one-on-one TLC to really, get in and figure out what's going on after 3 years and direct it. But you could do a lot yourself, folks, for free. That's for free loss because it's freedom hours, this material. And the courses are the most inexpensive way to really help yourself, okay? And if you want and you don't want to do it, then you got the Royal Fair Package. Freedom Law School will do it for you. So it depends on you. You have all options available to you. And John did a very good job with the option of helping himself do as much of it himself as possible. So, John, thank you for being such a great patriot and being a good example for many people to follow you to help themselves with education. Okay, we have one more call, I think, with a question we have right now. And, folks, by the way, we've got almost 15,000 subscribers on YouTube channel, little by little. So the only one that's going to get these numbers up, folks, is you. Remember that? Help get this stuff to your friends. Anybody who's, wants to know the truth, open to it, get them out, folks. Let's get American people educated. We have a question on YouTube, again, from Jessica, whose follow-up says, the instructions on renewing your passport, last page 4 is the one sentence. It asks you to line out all that pertains to you. Okay, well, I got to find a passport application. Let me see if I can find it for Jessica online. Let's see. U.S. passport application. Let's see if I can find it, Jessica, and see what it is. U.S. passport. Okay, there it is. Well, I think that this could be it. Let me see if this is it. The application should be on this page probably. Okay, from the, website of the, application for a new passport renew your passport application. Here it is, renew, application, passport, fill out the form DS-82. Okay, here's a form that I think you're talking about. Here's a PDF of the form. Okay, let me see what the form says. Okay, you want me to go to page number, last page, page 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, well, there's a page 5 here, page 6 here. Okay, I guess page 4 is what you want. Well, it's page 4. Let's see, the last page. But you see, Jessica, I cannot go over this whole page on you on the phone, sweetie. Without you calling us, you got to call us. There's no way I can go over this stuff on the phone, by texting us. You need to call. And you can use a pseudonym or Jessica. It doesn't matter. That's why we don't ask your last name. For privacy purposes, we only ask your first name. So please call. The call number with questions, again, is 657-383-1755. Questions? Again, the number to call and ask your questions is 657-383-1755. James, I think we're done for right now, are we? Okay. All right. Well, put the camera back on me. All right, folks. Thank you for being with me this Thursday night. I invite you to check out our other videos. Since February, Freedom Hour started, I got these videos. And those are the best ones I've done since February 19th forward. Okay, so check those out. A lot of different topics you might be finding interest. And educate yourself. You live free. Share it with everybody else. Let's have you be free. Have America be free. Working together, we can have freedom in America, peace and prosperity for all of us. Thank you for listening, everybody, and have a good night.
Okay, you can talk. I turned off the mic.
Okay, good. When you talk, good. Thank you, man. I got something. No, last two, we had a better call. We got to follow up on those people on that piece of paper. That's why I wanted to get that one back. We got.